Now to our main topic this hour, the balance between following war coverage and returning to whatever passes for normal life. What is the proper role of what used to be normal events in time of war? Today is opening day for many Major League Baseball teams. Four college campuses and most fans of college hoops are looking forward to next weekend's Final Four playoffs in the NCAA. If you're a sports fan, can you celebrate your team and still follow the war news? Later this hour, we'll talk about how Hollywood and TV should react to the reality of war as well. Joining us now on the line from his office in Austin, Texas, is Ryan Pittman, managing editor of the Daily Texan, the campus newspaper at the University of Texas, one of the schools in the Final Four of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and good of you to speak with us today.
Good afternoon.
The Longhorns have reached the Final Four for the first time in generations. How much attention are UT students devoting to basketball as compared to the war?
Well, I think certainly, just like everyone, college students everywhere, are kind of transfixed by war coverage. They can't get enough, and I think that's true for most of the country. But certainly we are college students, and we do like to find diversions, and certainly here at the University of Texas recently, that diversion has been basketball. First time in 56 years the University of Texas men's team has made the Final Four, and I think that people are trying to strike a good balance between being interested in the war and carrying on with their lives. And certainly I was actually at the game yesterday in San Antonio, and I can certainly guarantee that with about 2 minutes to go in the second half, nobody was thinking about Saddam Hussein or terrorism. They were thinking about T.J. Ford and Texas Longhorns. So I think people now, maybe more so than war, when war first broke out, are paying a lot more attention to their normal daily activities. People are not so kind of hypnotized by war coverage on TV, but I think, people are still, very interested and still can't get enough information about it.
I wonder, as a managing editor of the paper there, do you have to make decisions about, news versus sports coverage at this time of the year? I mean, I'm sure your headline today was all about what happened over the weekend in basketball.
Yeah. Our lead story in today's paper was, the men's team making the Final Four. But just beside it was a story about the war and updated coverage on the war effort. And then, below that story, there was a story on a protest here in Austin held yesterday where, estimated a couple thousand people turned out to support the troops. We certainly know that our readers want to see Final Four celebration and story on the Final Four, but they also want to see war coverage and want to get the latest, and that's what we have to do, I think, as a as a college paper and as a newspaper in general.
Well, as you noted, college students are noted for distractions from time to time and otherwise focusing on their studies. Are people paying more attention to the news, do you think?
I think they are. I think, this is the real first quote-unquote war that we have, I think, really, or at least our generation has really paid attention to. We were probably nine or so, or I was nine, back when the first Gulf War broke out. And so this is our first kind of experience in war, and it's foreign, obviously, to us. And I think any time that you have that going on, and also how important it is, I think that equals a lot of people paying a lot of attention to it. I know there's been, it's seemingly there's been a protest every day for the past week and a half or so, and people are wanting their voices heard, and they want to express their opinions on the war, and they're widely diverse here at University of Texas. And I think people, at least among college students, they can't get enough information about the war.
Ryan Pittman, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And good luck to University of Texas.
All right. Welcome.
Ryan Pittman is managing editor of the Daily Texan, a senior from Dallas. Oh, I'm going to get calls from my relatives in Syracuse. He was on the phone with us from his office in Austin, Texas. What are you doing to apportion your time between listening and watching war coverage, reading about it, and trying to get away from it if you can? Our first caller is Avi, who's with us in Milpitas, California.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, that's great. What I wanted to mention was I spent quite a bit of time living in the Middle East. I spent 27 years in Israel. And particularly when there's actually a war going on, as was the case in the last Gulf War, where we spent much of our time in sealed rooms with gas masks, you learn to divorce your daily life from the media coverage of what's happening with the war. And you often see that just by checking in a minute or two, twice or three times a day, you get a very good picture of what's going on without it devouring your your day-to-day life.
So you can make a division of your life and sort of become a functioning schizophrenic.
Absolutely, and I would even go so far as to say that there's a difference between knowing what's going on in the war and sort of taking it in as a media experience as to what they're saying, what the coverage is saying about what the coverage of the war is covering. So that if you check in on MSN for three or 4 minutes, you know, lunch break, whatever, see what's going on, see what the main stories are, and get back to the daily business of life, you really don't feel as if you're missing anything in the story of what's going on in the war, but you don't find yourself consumed by it.
Okay, Avi, thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
Let's go to Brian, and Brian's with us from Hollywood, California, the media capital of the planet.
How you doing?
Okay.
Well, I got to tell you, when I heard you ask your question, I thought I got to call on this one because I'm on my way back from the cable company dropping off my digital cable boxes. I've completely had enough. I'm a second year psychology major in Los Angeles, and it's been distracting me from my homework and schoolwork. And now, you know, when I do turn the TV on, it usually goes to CNN or MSNBC, and if I need a break, I find myself watching the most inane television shows over and over again.
I won't ask you which those are because they're probably my favorites, too.
Trading Spaces?
No, not that particular one. I like the Law and Order reruns. That's why I wrote about it.
Law and Order reruns, you know, CI Criminal Intent, all that stuff. I love that stuff. And, you know, I'm just completely distracted. And I don't want to appear as though I'm sticking my head in the sand. But, you know, I do a lot of internships, and I'm working with a lot of groups, and a lot of the underlying anxiety that's going on is about the war, and I just wondered, you know, I began to wonder how much that was really affecting me. And so, you know, I canceled my cable subscription, and I ordered the New York Times just for, you know, to have that start coming every morning instead, and we'll see how that goes.
Brian,
but,
good.
Already I feel relief.
Good luck to you, Brian, and I'm glad you're feeling a little better.
Thank you.
We're talking about how much attention Americans can pay to the war and how much they have to get away from it. I'm Neil Cohn, and it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cohn in Washington. Today we're talking about how much attention Americans are paying to coverage of the war versus their desire to escape from the war news. What about you? Have you struck a balance? If so, how do you do it? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from his office in Los Angeles is Dade Hayes, the assistant managing editor at Variety, the show business newspaper. And welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, Neil.
So are people going to the movies?
Not in as big in numbers as they have in the past. This is usually a pretty weak season. March is one of the slowest months at the box office, so it's a little tough to tell, but business last weekend was off 22% from a year ago, so it's definitely taken a hit.
Might this have anything to do with the quality of the movies?
Definitely. Last year at this time we had films like Ice Age and Panic Room and even kind of a genre action movie, Blade 2, all of which had some excitement around them and really brought people out to the theaters. So this year, not as good of a crop, Head of State, The Core, Basic, etc.
Is there any indication that people are going for lighter fare, the comedies? Head of State, I noticed, was head of the box office list this weekend.
That's true. All year, actually, that's been the case. Bringing Down the House has been number one three consecutive weeks. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. You know, there are a lot of titles that are a little more frothy that seem to be gaining traction.
Now, has the movie industry changed since, I was wondering if there was any comparison to 12 years ago and the Gulf War?
Absolutely. What's interesting is that the megaplexes that were built, as well as the aggressive marketing spending by the studios, have created kind of a niche-oriented business where you can have films, you know, making a good deal of profits for one demographic, but the general audience maybe isn't as keen on them. So, you know, you have this kind of fragmentation of the marketplace going on that didn't exist during the Gulf War. So that, you know, films like Jackass, for example, you know, the average moviegoer maybe hasn't heard of it, but it went on and did about $65 million.
Really?
It did. See, even you're surprised.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these things are so finely sliced, you know, by demographic that if you hit the 18 to 24-year-old, you can still make a pretty good dime.
The market fragmentation that we saw in radio years ago that we're seeing much more now of in TV happening in movies.
Absolutely.
You're out there in Los Angeles. Are people there paying attention to the war or going about the sybaritic lifestyle we read so much about here on the East Coast, where it's still snowing, by the way?
Oh, boy, I pity you guys up there. Actually, despite the balmy weather out here, people are really concerned, I think, about what's going on. Hollywood, as you know, is quite a hotbed of political activity and certainly, you know, monetary contributions. So people out here are kind of watching their purse strings and trying to figure out, you know, which direction their spending is going to be going in terms of campaigning. There's a sense that there's a consequence to what's happening here. And so unlike previous events, even 9/11, for example, didn't necessarily resonate in L.A. the way it might have elsewhere. But I think the war has really gripped this part of the country.
There's also a trend, as you mentioned, to frothy fare, but I read of what there were four different projects for an Alexander the Great movie, which is not unconnected to what's going on now.
Not at all. And actually, if you look at the Oscar-nominated films, you know, these were pretty difficult films. Gangs of New York is not, you know, not a lightweight.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not an easy sit. The Pianist, you know, even Chicago, despite the singing and the dancing, it's an incredibly cynical story that's being told. So there's still kind of a desire to tap into that in some ways. And even actually the success of a film like Black Hawk Down, which did have kind of a jolting kind of immediacy to it, is an interesting lesson for Hollywood.
Mm. Dade Hayes, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Dade Hayes is Assistant Managing Editor at Variety. He was with us on the line from his office in Los Angeles. And let's go to Karen, who's on the line in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just listening to him say about market segmentation, and we went to see Head of State this weekend, and it was really good, and we weren't Chris Rock's market, trust me, when he made the film. But it was filled. It was jam-packed with people from all different walks, races, and ages.
Were you going to go see it anyway, or is
no,
this...
No, the Times and the Journal panned it, but we wanted, you know, Chris Rock is sort of funny, and mm-hmm. we went, and it was actually, it was decent. You know, it was nice to see a president that was so nice and, you know, concerned about the people, and it had a nice twist to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really good. And it was nice to have the TV turned off. It was nice to be there. And I've taken a painting, turned off the TV, and just went out and signed up for painting classes to get away from it. So,
well, what are you painting? I mean, angry red splashes or flowers?
No, flowers and more nice scenery. But it's nice to you know, just turn the TV off and said enough's enough. And basically just listen to the radio.
Mm.
That's the only place where, you know, I mean, we get the Times and the Journal, and it seems that some of this media embedment is sort of a, you wonder if you're getting the straight story after a while, you know, with the media sort of arguing it out with each other, and so you just end up turning it off.
Well, I like your priorities, Karen. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jessica. Jessica's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that when the war started, I was listening to NPR basically nonstop from the time I got up until I went to bed. And this lasted for about a week until you resumed your normal programming in the morning and had music on. And I thought to myself, ah, this is great. I'm glad I was forced to take a break. So since then, I've been watching The Jim Lehrer Show in the evenings at 7, and then also Talk of the Nation. And aside from that, I've been trying to really limit my intake. And I have a brother who is in the Army National Guard,
mm-hmm.
and he's learning to fly Black Hawk helicopters right now, and his graduation is coming up. So this has been a very major concerning issue for me with this thing in Iraq.
Sure.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that the coverage of what's happening in Afghanistan has really, there's not very much of it these days, and I am somewhat concerned that eventually the coverage of what's happening in Iraq will go the same way, and that bothers me.
With your brother flying a helicopter, and you know, of course, we were just referencing the title of the famous book and movie Black Hawk Down, there have been any number of helicopter crashes that have gotten extraordinary amounts of publicity over the past couple of weeks. Your stomach must be in knots.
It's awful. It's really, every time that one goes down, my family calls, we all call each other and talk about it, and just pray that when my brother, if he goes over there, that things are okay for him. It's awful to hear the news.
At the same time, there must be a feeling that you can't tear away from it sometimes.
Exactly. That's why this the coverage has been riveting. It's absolutely addictive for me, and so I've really had to force myself to try and monitor my intake.
If I'm interpreting the sounds in the background correctly, you have somebody there who's not paying a lot of attention to the news.
No, I have a son who is 11 months old. And I've been trying to make a point of listening to the radio instead of TV, because on the radio there aren't any images of what's happening over there.
I also find that small children force you to concentrate on essentials.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thank God for him every day, and I think of all the people over there when they get injured or hurt, that those are somebody's babies.
Well, I wish your baby and your brother the best, Jessica.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Mike, and Mike's with us from Walla Walla, Washington.
Yes, there really is a Walla Walla, Washington.
And it's a name that radio announcers love to say.
Yeah, I'm also a musician, and there's a few songs about Walla Walla. But the limiting myself to the how much news I watch, I didn't realize how much I was watching it until the grandkids brought it to my attention. They were going, "Grandpa, Grandpa, you know, is all you going to do, watch news?" And so I limited myself. What I'm doing now is I'll go 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, and then NPR at work on the radio. And it's so repetitious. It seems to be about every 30 minutes, it's just cycling back through the same thing you've already seen, whether you're flipping channels or not. And once in a while, there'll be a new little blurb or a new update. But I found that I catch all those updates by just doing the 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening, and I've caught up on everything. So.
And you've not really missed anything?
No, because it's there. In about a 30-minute cycle, everything's ran through.
In a concentrated way, isn't it similar to the effect where no matter what you do normally in your daily life, I mean, you know, how many newspapers you read, how much TV you listen to or radio, and then you go away for 2 weeks vacation and you come back and you haven't missed very much?
That is true. It's true. And I don't know why it is, though, but you turn the TV on and it's going through and you'll see something, then you'll flip to the from CNN to Fox or whatever, and it'll maybe be a different person saying the same thing. And I don't know, it's just kind of hypnotic. You just kind of get tuned in, and then you flip to another channel. And then as soon as my grandkids brought it to my attention, says, "Grandpa, you're ignoring us. Is that everything you're going to do is just watch the war?" And so at that point I realized, okay, this is just becoming too much with me. So at that point I just limited myself. And now that I've done that a few days, it's everything. I'm caught up on everything in just, you know, 30 minutes in the morning and the evening. So that has helped me a bunch.
Well, thanks very much. And Mike, good luck to you.
Well, thank you for taking our calls. And thanks for public radio.
Well, thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Joining us now from his office in Connecticut is Vern Gay. He's a TV reporter for New York Newsday. And Vern, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, sir.
The networks have been somewhat split on their volume of war coverage. How are they doing?
Well, I think they're doing good. Meaning qualitatively or quantitatively?
Well, I guess both.
Well, qualitatively, I think it's pretty good. The major, you know, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the nightly programs are perfectly good. I think their biggest frustration is there's just not enough room in the day for a lot of what they're trying to do, and a lot of it's been sort of boxed out by basketball, particularly for CBS. So you've really got it confined to the early morning or the evening shows. So in a sense, they've kind of been moved, or if you will, marginalized to some degree by Fox, MS, NBC, and CNN. MS, in the case of NBC, that's perfectly fine because MS is using, of course, all of NBC News' resources. So NBC is in the game, but CBS and ABC, except for, of course, their late night or early morning bookend broadcasts, are sort of a little bit out of it. But qualitatively, overall, I think everybody's doing a pretty good job.
Well, ABC stuck with the Oscars, and as you mentioned, CBS is certainly stuck with the basketball.
Right, right. Yeah, they just, you know, these are pre-commitments, and pre-commitments that bring in a lot of money, and the networks are, of course, congenitally, you know, not disposed to blow off stuff that brings in a lot of money, so that's just the way it goes.
I had thought that ABC was going to had blown off the Barbara Walters pre-Oscar special,
yeah.
But I gather it's just been postponed.
Yeah, it's been postponed. They haven't actually given a new air date on it yet, but it will be back. It will be here.
Well,
it ain't going anywhere.
We're talking with Vern Gay, a TV reporter for New York Newsday, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, Vern, how does TV network coverage reflect their audience's interest in the war?
Well, that's a good and complicated question. You know, if you look at the ratings, and I did about, it would have been last Thursday or Friday, rather, the figures would indicate a couple of things. Foremost, the major networks, let's take ABC, CBS, and NBC, have probably boosted their evening news show broadcasts by about 10% in terms of, you know, overall viewership. The big networks, particularly ABC, were airing primetime documentaries in a couple of instances when they weren't boxed out by basketball. And as late as last Tuesday, they were getting, by network standards, minuscule audiences. So slowly the networks have sort of pulled out of the primetime special programming type of ventures, and now we're basically, as I said, limiting it to their bookend broadcasts in the middle of the evening, the nightly news shows. So there seems to be a diminution in interest on that level. For the major cable networks, however, Fox is doing the highest numbers in its history. That was somewhat expected. MS and CNN's doing pretty well too. MS is sort of the surprise here. They're averaging about 2.5 million viewers on average in prime time, which is just about maybe 5 or 6 times what they normally do.
Wow.
So yeah, MSNBC is sort of finding its life in all of this. But then that's another story altogether. Whether that endures is of course something that they're going to have to struggle with. But MS is surprisingly having really the, you know, relatively speaking, the biggest gains. CNN is, of course, doing very, very well as well.
But Fox still the leader.
Pretty much by far, yeah. I forget what the numbers are, but Fox is about in prime 5.5 million to CNN's 4. About 5 million. Hold me to these numbers. But Fox is markedly higher, in some instances quite a bit higher. And there are a lot of reasons for that. Fox was a leader going into this as well. And I've long believed that Fox has not viewers as much as fans. I mean, they're people that really believe in the tone of the network, in really the ideological bent of the network, and
place. Let's take a call. Mark joins us on the line from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, yeah, you know, I just see, like, the coverage almost being, like, the next logical step in reality TV with, you know, Joe Millionaire and all these, Survivor. And, as one of the other callers was saying, he does this 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. I find you don't even have to do that. I mean, through listening to the radio and what little clips you pick up, you know, you're picking up the major parts of it. And then you also, I don't end up chasing all the wild rumors. We get people at work or whatnot talking about, oh, did you hear this happen? Oh, we're already in Baghdad. then, of course, you find out later that, you know, none of that's even true.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Vern, is there any sense of embarrassment of doing Fear Factor when you're the rest of the time showing people who are in conditions of real fear?
Well, frankly, I've always believed any time you're doing Fear Factor, it's an embarrassment. So I don't see any different now or then. Those shows are mostly humiliating in times of war and in times of peace. But their numbers actually have held up pretty well. American Idol is an example. In fact, Fear Factor had a huge number the other day. American Idol has done particularly well, too. So, yes, those shows are an abomination, but it didn't take a war to prove that.
Mark, thanks very much for the call.
Hey, thank you.
And Vern Gay, we appreciate your time as well.
Thank you, Neil. Good talking with you.
Good to talk to you. Vern Gay is a reporter who covers television with New York Newsday, and that's published on Long Island, just outside of New York City. And we're going to take more of your calls on this issue when we come back from a short break. 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is TOTN@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Now let's go back to your calls about balancing the tension between paying attention to the war and getting away from the coverage of the war. Our next caller is Rick, who's with us from Reno, Nevada.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Well, you know, I have a real hard time tuning it out. I teach humanities to college students, and my students want to know what's going on, and fortunately, I'm blessed to live in a place where we don't receive television very well, so I have to have a satellite, which means I don't have to rely on American news media that I, you know, my sources are News World International, mm-hmm. WorldLink TV, you know, and I do check out what CNN, and I don't bother with Fox. I think Fox is the worst thing that happened to broadcast journalism in the last 40 years.
Well, in this case, cable journalism.
Yeah. But in any case, it is very difficult for me to tune it out. Not in addition to wanting to be able to help my students be informed as to what's going on. You know, I have a newborn son, and I'm deeply troubled about the implications of Mr. Bush's desire to isolate the United States in the world community. You know, what the implications for my son will be in 20 years. I haven't forgotten that Bush's father supported Saddam Hussein, you know, and when I wrote to Bush Sr. to ask that the United States cut off support for that madman, I got a form letter back saying that Saddam Hussein was an important stabilizing factor in the region and so forth, and I'm very concerned about what kind of butcher we are likely to put in his place, you know, and in 20 years will my son have to deal with that, you know, so it's very hard to tune it out. The best thing I can do is go for long walks in the sagebrush.
Well, at least you've got sagebrush.
Yes.
Rick, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Doug, and Doug's in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just so glad to hear this show and realize that I'm not the only glam news junkie in the country. I'm a veteran of the Vietnam War resistance. I've been around for quite some time, and I've heard them inflate the body counts on, 35 years ago on the news, and I don't know, I just can't keep my fingers from punching up those folks, you know, the ones who all look the same, who have the same crawl. I mean, you even watch Iraqi news, and you see it's going the other way, but you see the crawl at the bottom, too. I think they've found a formula is what's going on. And the only thing I can do in my self-recrimination after I watch all this is to remind myself that it's not really the news. And I think that's what a lot of your callers are saying. I think we need to be careful. If we're seeing the same news over and over and over again, I think that's a clue that it may not indeed be the news in the first place.
Yet they tend to run the same footage all the time because that's the footage they've got, or at least that's the exciting footage they think they've got. But isn't there this sense, and I have to admit that I'm subject to it as well, that you might miss something?
Yeah, I'm worried about that. In fact, it's a delusion. It's a self-delusion. I say to myself, well, now I'm going to watch something and I'll be able to glean the real news out of what I'm watching, when in reality I know that, you know, it's been filtered at least twice before by the state, as far as I'm concerned. And so, to atone, I go to C-SPAN, and I go to NPR, and I go to the places where I know I'm going to hear more of the news, and I do my mea culpas there, you know? But I still find myself every morning, you know, clicking on, and it's just because there will be the scenes. I say to myself, they've got the big money, and so they must have... And they have the ear of the state, or, well, the state has them by the ears. And I'm going to see something new. And, yes, I delude myself, and I really don't know the answer to this.
I'm not sure there is one, Doug, but...
There is one. Please find it for us, will you?
This might be it. Thanks for the call, by the way.
Thank you.
This is from Brooke Lewis in Boise, Idaho. I stumbled upon my escape from the overwhelming media coverage of the war on accident. I'm a Catholic, and for this Lenten season, decided to give up daytime television. Lent started before the war. I found that during the first days of the war, I was extremely tempted to turn the TV on, and will admit that I actually cheated a few times. Since then, though, I found the minute-by-minute details have become the junk food of television news. It's addictive, but I don't think you get any more substance. I agree with your other callers who have commented that 30 minutes in the morning and evening is plenty of information to keep you informed. Finally, Matt Teff in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. As a sports fan, I'm looking forward to the Champions League's quarterfinals even more this year than in the past. The idea that I'll be watching an event that at least 1.2 billion people around the world will be following as well is a good sign to me for the future of the world. Well, what people are doing. The web is another thing they're doing. More about that in a moment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.